I will put my spirit within their heart.
Amazing grace.
It's amazing grace.
Lord Jesus, pay the debt that I could never pay.
Say with me, salvation.
Salvation
is all God's prerogative.
All God's prerogative.
He did it.
He
did it all.
Did it.
Glory to God. Amen. What can you do to be saved? Nothing. He chose it. He said, I have chosen to save these ones. I am giving them forgiveness. And there's nothing they can do about it. He says, this is a covenant I will make with them. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. What Jesus did. Not what we will do. All he requires is, and they will know. They will know. All they need to do is to accept it. Whosoever accepts it has set to his seal that God is true. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Please, let's be seated. Glory to God. You're welcome to church this morning. I want to appreciate Pastor Omoba Temitope Thompson for this awesome privilege to minister to the saints. Men bought by the blood. The life of Christ. Men that carry the Spirit. Amen. So while we were talking, we saw that salvation is all God's prerogative. Nobody can obtain salvation without what God has done. Nobody. This morning we'll be talking about maintaining the focus. Maintaining the focus. All a man will do to be saved is to believe. 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 And what happens? I myself will keep you. I myself will keep you. How did he do that? He says, I will give you another comforter. John 14:16. I will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. Ephesians 1:13-14 that we read earlier in the morning will be telling us that once you believe, God gave you the guarantee of the Spirit within you for life. He will abide with you forever. Amen. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Read verse 6. Read verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and then we read verse 8, 9. Are we there? Okay. Ephesians 2. Starting from verse 6. Sorry, verse 4. Are we there together? Okay. But God, you can into our scriptures. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now verse 8 together. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man can boast about obtaining his salvation. No man can boast by himself. It is all the work of the Savior done. Salvation is all the work of the Savior done. Sealed, delivered to you. All the work of the Savior. Can you boast about it? No. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Amen. Okay. Now, can you receive a reward for a gift? Can you? No. You can't receive a reward for a gift. Are you rewarded for being saved? No. Amen. We are not rewarded for being saved. Okay. Let's put it there. In this work of salvation by God, we also see examples of how we should conduct ourselves. We see the character of God in the work of salvation, and we follow suit. Why? He himself stays where? Where's God? In us. He himself stays in us. His spirit is in us. We've seen that salvation is not what you will do or what you will maintain. You can't maintain it. Hebrews 7:25. What did he say? Let's open there. Hebrews 7:25. You can't maintain it. Since he cannot die, he is able to save to the uttermost. Did he say those that will maintain it? No. But who is the person doing it? What did he say there? He is able to save to the uttermost. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus lives forever. So it is not you that will maintain your salvation. It's not you that will keep yourself from going to hell. Jude 24 will tell you that. Jude 24 will tell you, now unto him who is able to keep you faultless and to present you blameless before himself. He is able to do that. Not, we need to assist him. No. He has all that is needed to keep you. The salvation is a work of my Savior. And he alone maintains it. Amen. Okay. Now, we saw that in the work of salvation, we also see the example of God's character. And we follow suit. Why? Because his spirit now lives in us. We follow suit because his spirit now lives in us. Let's open to Matthew. Matthew 20. Matthew. Are we there yet? Matthew 20. We are reading from verse 20. Please, let's open our Bibles. Help somebody around you to open the scriptures so that we will not lie to you. You see it for yourself. In the scriptures. Matthew 20. Reading from verse 20. Are we there now? Okay. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Worshipping him. Worship would definitely relate to something like she came prostrate. She came revering him, wanting to desire something of him. Let's read verse 21. What was she coming to ask? Verse 21. What wilt thou? And said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right hand and the one on the left, in thy kingdom. I'm sure that the mother of Zebedee's children did not just decide that, let me come and ask Jesus. It is definitely the disciples that used their mother to come and ask. Abi? It was in their thoughts. It was in their mind. They want a position. Abi? So we will see that it is not something that was sudden. They've been nursing it. It's not something that just came, I think there is position here. Let's just quickly beg for it. No. It has been in their hearts. They longed for a position. They have been premeditating it. Let's read verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. 23. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now verse 24. They were moved with indignation. That would be like they were angry, isn't it? So it is also possible that the other people have also been thinking about it. It is possible. Is that possible? It's not written there that they were thinking about it, but it is possible. Indignation. They were hungry. Probably they had a thought in their mind. And read verse 25, the first place. But Jesus called them unto him and said, he called them. So they were angry. The 10 of them went somewhere to come and start gisting about it. Can you imagine those two guys? What you have been thinking about? They came to, with their mom, to come and gist and beg for that position. It was probably in their mind. And then they went away. Amen. Okay, so let's continue. Let's continue verse 25. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. What is he telling them? This is how you know people that are great in the world. They are the ones that have the position. They are the ones that can use authority on people. That's what is written there. So this is the way that the world knows. Now read verse 26. He said, but it shall not be, I want us to say it together, it shall not be so among you, but whomever or whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let's read verse 27, then we'll explain that. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Amen. The word minister there will be diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. We are saying that because the minister in verse 26 and the minister in verse 28 are a bit different. Just either one is a verb, action, and the other one, a noun. Okay. So it means servant. Diakonos means servant, like a waiter. That's what we are saying in verse 26. Whomever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. Let him be like your waiter. You know how waitresses and waiters are usually carrying out their jobs when we go for occasions, right? Okay, something like that. See, we have said this before. I'm going to check it again. We are brought in and born as sons into the kingdom. You can write that down. We are brought in and born as sons into the kingdom. We see that? Galatians 4 verse 6. I send the spirit of his son into our hearts. Whereby, cry, Abba, Father. We have one spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 4. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. Let's see 1 Corinthians 6 17. Says that you are one spirit. One spirit with God. 1 Corinthians 6 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 17. Ephesians 4 4. And Galatians 4 verse 6. Let's see Galatians 4 verse 6. After he has spoken to the Galatians, he now said that. 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are born of the spirit. We are born by the spirit. Okay. But what we do in the church. But what we do in the church, we have seen that we are born of the Spirit. But what we do in the church can be called the duty of servants. But what we do in the church can be called the duty of servants. Remember, we said that in salvation, we see an example of how God we want men to behave. We are still in Matthew 20. We have not left Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Let's go back to Matthew 20. We are still there. We were in verse 27. So let's read verse 28 together. Now, he said that whomsoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Column. I want to explain how to be the servant. Let me tell you about it. Let's read verse 20. Every one of us on our Bible. Verse 28. You should be a servant. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He did not come to be ministered to. This minister, the ministered and minister, both are the same words, and it will be diakonio. The first one was nous. This one is neo. E-O, Greek. E-O. It means the service. The service. He did not come to be ministered to. The service. Please, we would be good in writing things down. To be an attendant. To serve. That's what the minister there means. To serve, to be an attendant. You know, the first one means servant, isn't it? Now, this one is what you are doing as a servant. What you are doing as a servant. To minister unto. Then he now explains how the service is going to be. If you are sleeping, you will tell us the vision afterwards. Okay. He explains the service. How did he explain the service? But to minister and to give his life. Did we see that? To give his life a ransom for many. We are rewarded for what we do, not for what we claim to do. We are rewarded for what we do, not what we claim to do. I'm a pastor. You're shouting everywhere. I'm the pastor. But I cannot point to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people that have become better in the ministration of the word by my ministry. That is, I am claiming. That is not doing. Do we get it? We are rewarded for what we do, not what we claim to do. I claim that I'm a pastor, but there is nothing to show that I'm a pastor. There is no life that has become better. There is nobody that has taken up ministry as a result of my ministrations. My pastor. I called myself a pastor. Okay. So we see this in the attitude of the apostles. They will always say, they will first say apostle and servant of God. Apostle, servant of God. So in service, we are always particular about our conscience. We are always particular about our conscience. We'll come back to that later on when we explain it. So in that Matthew 20, how was Jesus going to minister? By giving himself as a ransom. Giving. So we are saying that service is what? Giving. Service is giving. Only. Giving only, not partly. Giving only. He gave. Did Jesus just give his leg? He gave his whole life. His soul. His whole being. So the example that Jesus was making them understand from there is that service is giving your all or your whole to something. He said he did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister unto many. How? By me giving myself. Where are we seeing the example? In Christ. Can we do the same? Yes. I remember there was a time we were talking about walking in love, and several questions were coming up. We concluded that it is only believers that can walk in love. The things that pertains to it are sometimes and many times they are beyond logical reasoning. Amen. So to minister is to give. Now give your all, give everything. So we can conclude that a minister is a what? Giver. A minister is a giver. Where did we see the example? In Christ. A minister, see, a minister does ministry. A minister is a giver. Is a giver going to complain? So the moment we start complaining, what's happening? We are reducing our administration. We are reducing our ministry. We would further explain that. We are reducing our ministry. As we start to complain. Okay. A believer is a giver. Why? By normal and how things will be. That will be, because I intentionally said that. Every believer is a minister. And I'm sure there is nobody that is short of a minister here. So every believer is a giver. It's a giver. Ministry. It's a giver. So the moment every person has the attitude that I am a giver, I am a giver, I am a giver, it will not be easy for me to complain that they are not giving to me. Did you get that? When your mindset is sharpened, when your mindset is sharpened, I'm the one that will give to people. I give, I give, I give. It will not be easy for me to complain when things are not given to me. It won't be easy because my mindset is already sharpened in one part. Amen. Or I am not having so much attention. Why? I am the one giving attention to people. I give attention to him. I give attention to him. I give attention to him. So it will not be easy if I don't have it not to complain. All right, let's see through the book of Acts. Very quickly, very, very quickly. Aha. We'll see the term one accord used several times. Sometimes after Acts 6, I think once when Philip was in Samaria and the city with one accord received him. But after that time, it's most time one accord they came to stone. One accord they persecuted. But in the first part of Acts, we see that it was not like that. Let's see Acts 1 verse 14. Acts 1 14. We see that when the time one accord is used, what happens to the brethren? 1 verse 14. This all continued with one accord, in prayers and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So it would mean somehow that being in one accord does not mean that you are in one place. Isn't it? They were in one accord in one place. So you can be in one place and you are not in one accord. So it would be that being in one accord is beyond what we see physically. Like, okay, everybody's gathered here. It's beyond that. We would see that later on. Let's see verse 46. And they continue in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 46. And they continue daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 4, 24. Acts 4, 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth. We know what happened afterwards. They became bold to proclaim the gospel. Okay, Acts 5 verse 12. That should be the last place we see one accord. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now we are seeing that when we see one accord, what do we see? Giving. We'll see spirituality. Isn't it? When they were in one accord, they were praying, they were supplicating, they were in one accord, they were giving to each other, they continued, they ate their meals with singleness of heart, which will not be the same thing that we will see in 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. 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 Okay. All right. Now let's see Acts 6 verse 1. When the one accord stopped. Acts 6 verse 1. You know, we are seeing one accord. Maybe they will soon produce a car that is called one accord. Former one was under accord. Okay. Acts 6 verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. You know, before then, they would say, he sold his land and then he dropped it where? At the feet of the apostles. So the apostles were in charge of, yeah, you don't have school fees. How much do you need? Okay, send it. Somebody will send email. I need money. I need some money now. And quickly, the apostles will say, okay, how much do you need? How much do you need? You know, people have sold their land. They've given to the apostles. They will send it. But people were becoming more. And the needs were becoming more. We had more disciples. 3,000. 5,000 added to them. The needs will not be the same when they were just 12. It will be multiplied. Of course, we know that given will increase. They will give more. Yes. But their needs cannot all be met. So what now happened in verse 1? What happened in verse 1? We see that in the gathering of men, there will always be needs to be met. There will always be needs to be met. So a minister must not be teleguided by these needs. Because it will always be a distraction in the local church. I did not say the minister should not know about the needs. I said tele-guided. Like, because of the needs now, you just change everything. You start walking this way. And then it's come. You not change again. You keep walking another way. Tele-guided. A minister must not be tele-guided by these needs. See, before Acts 6, we would see that they were all full of the Spirit. Isn't it? They gave with no exception. They gave liberally. But when we started seeing needs, distractions, we will see pressure and murmurings in the church. When we are so loud about needs, we would see pressure and murmurings in the church. And what will that do? It will distract the focus of the local church. We are still doing maintaining the focus. That's where we are going to. It will still distract the focus of the local church. Why? Needs are becoming how people relate to each other. Now, let's give an example. Now, everybody knows that men need money. Men need jobs. Abi? Men now, men. Okay, women too. Men are women. Men are women need money. All right. Now, for example, Egbon is just coming from work. He has been stressed. He was tired. He just came. As he just entered, Pastor said, okay, where is your PR note? How many souls have you preached to? What will be a normal response? Ah, Baba. You don't even see that I'm just coming from somewhere. You can't even ask, how was my day? Have you done today? The first thing you are saying is, yes. Murmurings will start coming up. You may not murmur outside. In your mind, you're already murmuring. Abi? Why? Needs. And are they legitimate needs? Yes. Must. Should you have money? Yes. You'll be well settled. Yes. The paper saying yes. I will say otherwise. Yes. But should we be teleguided by that? No. Why? The only things that are eternal. Let me not say things. The only thing that is eternal is what? A man that has eternal life. All the people on the street that have not believed in Jesus. Only men that have eternal life are eternal. Amen. Only men that have eternal life are eternal. So my reward in eternity will be based on how much I have labored on these eternal people. Isn't it? And that's why we are considering ministry. A minister must be one that is a giver. Every believer must see himself as a giver. Okay. So even myself, I will ensure that I am not distracted by my own needs. Will distractions come? Yes. It's easy. Just put your mind on it. Man, I need like 50K this week. You'll be distracted. You'll be running everywhere. Somebody said it's too small, Abby. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk afterwards. All right. We now saw that in Acts 6, the disciples were fighting over what? Over what? Kilishi. Meat. Food. Meat for the belly. Belly for meat. What happened? Everything will be gone. They are not of eternal value. But is it necessary for you? Yes. Amen. So this was shaping how we do things. The disciples were fighting over food. So let's put it down. Once you have the mentality that people owe you attention, people owe you positions, people owe you thanks, it will create strife in the assembly. If you are not sleeping, don't start sleeping. If you were sleeping, sleep some more. Okay. All right. So once we put it in our mind that we are the ones receiving, I must receive. Me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. There is no mindset in me that I am a giver as a minister, as the example that God has given through Christ Jesus. What will happen? Strive will start happening. Strive will start happening. So let's continue reading. Verse 2. Acts 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. All of them were disciples, isn't it? All of them, disciples. What would we mean when we say they are disciples? They are being taught. They are being taught. We are from history, they will say that all the people that came during Pentecost, they didn't go back to where they came from. They had to learn. Because they repented. They turned their mind from the way they used to think about God. Okay. So, we see verse 2. And said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Let's go to verse 3 quickly. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. All the disciples, when they were in one accord, did we say that give us men that are full of the Holy Ghost? No. They were all full of the Holy Ghost. But the moment murmurings, strife, began to crop in, begin to come in amongst them, what happened? Spirituality now became exclusive to some set of people. Who are those set of people? Who are those set of people? We will see Stephen, Philip, and we will see later on in Acts that Stephen and Philip were still doing the ministry, isn't it? Amen? Okay. So, this set of persons are the people that have learned the power of staying focused to the gospel. They have learned to stay focused, to keep their priority, to keep themselves sane. This is because carnality has now become an issue. They were majoring on what is not the gospel. Some certain disciples were majoring on what is not. Some majored on it. And those people that majored on it, they were termed what? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. I'm sure that will result from a discussion. Let's put this down. There is no neutral discussion in the local church. There is no neutral discussion in the local church. It is either what you are saying promotes the gospel or it does not. It is either what you are saying promotes the gospel or it does not. It's one of the two. If everyone sees himself as a minister, there won't be any complaint. Say with me, I am the one that gives always. I am a minister. Now, we'll see through the book of Corinthians. We're not necessarily open that. If the Corinthians saw themselves as servants, Apostle Paul will not start speaking to them in Corinthians 1. I have heard that there be dissensions, there be strife amidst you, and I partly believe. The people of Chloe's household told me, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 to 13. Then we'll read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Verse 4. For why one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Verse 3, we say that, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Walk as men will be a man that does not have the Spirit. A man that is carnal is a man that does not have the Spirit. Are you a carnal believer? Is that either you're a believer or you're a carnal? But can that statement be used for the actions of believers? Yes. Why? Believers are not meant to be acting like men without the Spirit. When a believer acts like that, Apostle Paul in this place will say, you are yet carnal. Why? Your actions are not in tandem with the Spirit that you have received. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we see that in their carnality, there was strife, there was envy, and all the likes. That's why you will see in 1 Corinthians 11, can I write it down? 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 22, and 29 to 30. He will start speaking. That's where we will talk about the Lord's Supper. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. Why? There was division. Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? 1 Corinthians 11. Why will you... Some people will be drunk before the other. Why? Because they are already having what is called sectarianism. They were already creating sects in the local church. Division. That's why Apostle Paul was telling them, you are yet carnal. Let's read verse 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. 12:31. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the initial chapters, it would be saying that they lack in none of the spiritual gift. They abound in it. Abi? Okay. But in verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly this best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Then 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tickling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Then we'll read chapter 14, 1 to 5. Chapter 14, are we there? Scriptures. Chapter 14, 1 to 5. We're reading together. Waiting. We're reading it together. Are we there now? Okay. So let's go. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gift, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the church he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edified the church. Verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Probably somebody said, okay, come on, pray for us. Just came out. Start speaking in tongues. When you finish, just went back. Baba, you have not edified anybody. What was that? That is not walking in love. He did not put it in his mind that when it comes out, there will be men that are learned. There will be men that don't understand what you are doing. So you have to edify them. And how do you edify them? They have to understand what you are saying. Amen. Let's read verse 26. You see that he instructs them because of something that has been happening in the church. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So we see there that they were not paying attention to edifying one another. Hence, Apostle Paul admonished them on it. Let each of you see himself as a servant. See yourself as a giver. See yourself, we'll go to Philippians 2, esteem yourself lower than the other person. In what sense? Bring your status. Just keep the status down as we are believers. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, we don't choose who to relate with in church based on social class or social status. Why? We have not so learned Christ. Christ would have said, okay, only Jews should be saved. Forget about the Gentiles. It was about class. Why? He was a Jew. In fact, Eric Tito should not be talking to anybody because is there another fashion designer? Don't think so. Man, they can't design anything. So I'm not going to talk to them. But no, it is not like that. We have not so learned Christ. Say, I walk in love. I walk in love. So as we have seen that rewards have been taught as being for service. Rewards are for service. Rewards are for service. Rewards are for service. Yet, service deals with motive. Rewards are for service. Yet, service deals with motives. So we must follow through with oneness of thinking that we are all givers, that we are all servants. What happened to Philippians 2? We note that Apostle Paul, most of his letters were written to churches, and some to Timothy, Titus, Philemon, they were written to specific persons in the church. So let's see, Philippians 2. It was written to the Philippians. Philippians 2 verse 1. Philippians 2 verse 1. Okay. If there be therefore, are we there? Any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowers and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. The word like-minded, we mean have the same observations, have the same judgments, have the same statements, have the same opinion. The like-mindedness is towards one another in service. Like-mindedness is towards one another in service. I will think properly of you. You will think properly of him. He will think properly of him. And like that. Why? We are all givers. Amen. So we ensure that we think properly about the other person. That is, we are seeing ourselves as givers to the other person. When we say givers, it doesn't necessarily have to be money. So we saw the example of giving, which we saw in Matthew 20. How that our example of service is in that Christ gave himself as a ransom. So we also follow through the same mindset. So the moment we put it in our mind that me, I'm the one receiving, there won't even be much to give. There won't be much to give. Why? Let me give an example. Okay. Let's say we are going to which other place? Shokoto, right? If there is not enough persons in the church that are ready to give, what will we be giving here now? Is it money? Not necessarily. Time. Time for training. Time for being available. Will those things come to pass? No. No. Okay. So, we will now see that the moment everybody puts it in his heart that I am a giver, everybody will receive. Everybody says, okay, I'm the one giving. You are the one giving. Do you want to give to yourself? You give to someone else. I will give to someone else. So everybody, it will go around. Everybody will receive with the mindset of being a giver. So we say that, verse 2, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Of one accord will mean that you are co-spirited. You are similar in sentiment. Similar in sentiment. Like, okay, all of us here know that we like to pray 30 hours. That is our sentiment. At least 30 hours per month. It is a sentiment. If somebody say, how will you be praying like that for 30 hours? What are people praying for? Baba, it is our sentiment. So our minds are united in it. That is when we make things happen through the prayers. Amen. Amen. Okay. Some people think, how can everyone be orderly in the church? It is possible. Why? They are of one accord. So as we come to service, we put it in our mind that we're here to serve. Let's go to Philippians 2 verse 3. Let's read verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife. We'll be seeing strifes in money. We saw that in Acts 6. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, the moment you mention strife, what comes to your mind? A work of the flesh. Galatians 5. Is strife the fruit of the Spirit? No. It's a work of the flesh. Of course, we are talking about working in love. But if you're in business, you're a businessman, you have to do small strife because of competition. Abi? You just, come and present this paper. I don't want to show myself that I'm the best. If you don't present it, no business. So. I want to work in love. Let him just have it, Baba. Amen. So, in this work of faith, strive. We see that even in the business world, strive produces result, right? It produces result now. You get clients and all the likes. But in walking in love, we put it in our mind that shine or shining is for the world. Can we also shine? Yes. When you are doing your activities, shining is for the world, but reward is with God. Now, what are we talking about? Service in the local church. What are we still talking about? Maintaining the focus. So, strive is seen as self-seeking. I'm enhancing my ego. I'm enhancing my reputation. I'm enhancing my image. I'm enhancing my self-interest. All these things will play out when you are doing, let's say you're competing for, or you're bidding for a project. All those things will play out. But in the church, what should play out? You walk in love. That must never be in our minds. Can he come? Yes. But we should ensure that we keep our minds sane. Amen. Amen. Okay, we saw earlier on, vainglory, vanity. Vainglory means vanity, means empty glorying. Let nothing be done in emptiness. One of the things that usually is a problem is, don't you know I'm older than you? Show my age, me. After this word, what will age do? That's gone. It is not eternal. Please, I don't carry people in my car. That place, you can't step on it. Car. Okay. When you now finish? After 3 years, you start looking for another car. Because that car has gone outdated. What are the, or who are the things that have eternal value? Saints. The car does not have eternal value. Is it good for your comfort? Yes. But not at the mercy of saints. Okay. So, Eve, please put this down. Saints are eternal. Things you do to them and for them in terms of service is what counts eternally. Saints are eternal. What you do to them and for them in terms of service is what counts eternally. Now, please add this. If a saint loses his eternal focus or fervency. If a saint loses his eternal focus or fervency because of me, if a saint loses his focus because of me, it's very bad. Very bad. So we see in this Philippians 1, you see that Apostle Paul was talking about people that were preaching out of strife and people that were preaching out of a pure heart. Isn't it? So it's possible for men to do the right things with a wrong mind. It's very possible. So let's see. False humility. That's what we see. Let's see Colossians 2 verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians 2 verse 8. Now let's see verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let's also read verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of worship in will, wisdom, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. We see that false humility gratifies you, not Christ. False humility gratifies you, not Christ. True service is when others benefit from your giving. Baba, who are you, sir? Who are you? A giver. Who are you? A minister. Abi? True service is when others benefit from your giving. So that giving is how you make yourself available for others to benefit from your resources, from your time, from your status, from your personality. We see that in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. It will say that he was made poor so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Which is exactly the same thing you see in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. How was he made poor? He took on sin. How were you made rich? He gave you his righteousness. Became the righteousness of God in him. See, in 1 John 3:16, we tell you how God lay down his life for us, and now we are supposed to do the same thing for others. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are we seeing it? From the example of Jesus, we are supposed to also do the same. Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says that you should forgive one another, even as God in Christ has forgiving you. Where are we taking our example from? From Christ. Where did we take the example of that servanthood from? From Christ. The same thing you see in Colossians 3 verse 13. So because we have the spirit of Christ, we do things because we mean them. We give ourselves just like Jesus. So the sacrifice of Christ has become an example of our service. The sacrifice of Christ has become an example of our service. So when we serve in the house of God, we serve as givers, not takers. Why? We have the capacity to do the right things by the Spirit in us. We have the capacity to love fervently by the Spirit in us. We have the capacity to forgive easily by the Spirit in us. We have the capacity to give unto men by the Spirit in us. All is hinged on what? The Spirit abiding in us. Amen. Amen. Now we'll see the things written of old are for our truth, the patience, and long story. That should be Romans 16. Okay, to say that the things that were written are written for us that through the patience and covered of scriptures. That's what I'm looking for. 15:4, right? Okay. Okay, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we see that from the Old Testament, sometimes we receive examples of conduct. Just check a few. Now, for example, you see Abraham was used faith. And then in his conduct, James 2, he gave to strangers. We see Sarah. He says, that's in 1 Peter 2. Let's see. In 1 Peter, he was saying that the wife should conduct themselves as Sarah did, calling Abraham Lord. Rahab, the same thing. Even those who did wrong were made examples. E.g., Esau. Esau was called what? A profane man. Hebrews 12. He was called a profane man. He said, what did he do? He exchanged a blessing for a morsel of pottage. He did not regard the blessing. That was why it was used as an example. He did not have honor, no regard. What is a blessing? People who died in the wilderness too were used as example. 1 Corinthians 10. Cain was used as an example. Cain was of the evil one. 1 John 3. It says Cain was of the evil one. 1 John 3. So we see that even from the Old Testament, when a man is carnal, he will walk. What did we say that a man is carnal? Believers. He is conducting himself like a man that does not have the Spirit. Isn't it? Now, when a believer does something like that, what happens? They will compare him with mere men. Men that don't have the Spirit. That's why sometimes we go to the Old Testament. That's in 2 Chronicles 25. You're saved. You're born of the Spirit. But the man is regarded as carnal when his conduct is like men that are not born again. In our salvation, we say that you are copying the behaviors of the world. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1 and 2. Messiah was doing a service. 2 Chronicles 25. Just after Kings. 25, 1 and 2. Our Messiah was doing a service, but what was said? Let's read it together. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. We said that in our service, motives are essential, right? Not with a perfect heart. Attitude is major in service. So we say, pleasing God is wanting what God wants for the same reasons why he wants it. Pleasing God is wanting what God wants for the same reason he wants it. The word perfect in verse 2 will be the Hebrew word shalem. Your paper is exhausted. Should we give you another one? Okay, see our son. Well done. All right. Perfect is a Hebrew word shalem, S-H-A-L-E-M. It means something that is whole, for something not to be divided. Who is an example of somebody that has divided attention like that? Baba Solomon. He took his devotion. Let's see. 1 Kings 11. Let's see some other places where that word was used. 1 Kings 11. We're talking about devotion. We're talking about for you to be whole, for your mind to be whole, not to be divided. 11 verse 4. 1 Kings 11 verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and as was the heart of David his father. So what is that perfect? He was not committed again. He has no devotion to God again. Let's see 15 verse 3. The same 1 Kings 15 verse 3. Talking about Abijam. 15 verse 3. And he walked in all the sins, Abijam, all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. What's the difference? Devotion. He was not devoted to God. Okay, let's see, lastly, 14. 2 Kings 14, verse 1. We are checking the word perfect, shalem, which means whole. All the perfect, they are the same words. 14, verse 1. Verse 3, let's just use verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of God, yet not like David, his father. So what's the difference? A man has devotion to God. He was made an example. The other ones were being compared to him. 14:3, 2 Kings 14:3. You can just read 1 to 3. So it is for loyalty and commitment. Shalem, your loyalty and commitment. Say with me, I am not serving. I am not giving for position, for men's reward, for men's attention, or for men's applause. But because I am a giver, I give for the right reason. Amen. So at times we saw there that you can do the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Amaziah, he did that which was right, but he was doing it without a perfect act. Amen. So the same way it is possible that I have a public respect for a person, but have a private disdain for the person. The same way. I just, sir, now you. But inside, that guy. You have to behave anyhow now. It's possible. Why? It stands also for loyalty, for devotion, and for commitment. A man must ensure he maintains the right reason. Like Pastor Naika would say, he'll say, loyalty and faithfulness are present tense. Loyalty and faithfulness are present tense. They are not things you did in the past. It is something that you are doing. So service is a function of what God sees and your heart. Let me give this example. Someone might be here and somebody here. The person here, okay, I'm waiting. The person on this side asks a question. The person on this side asks a question too. But the person here asked because he did not understand. The person here asked why? He wanted to prove a point. Or she wanted to prove a point. What happened? The reason for the same things that they are doing are different. And we judge that. It's you that judge that. It's you that know what you are doing and why you are doing it. Amen. So in Christian service, What we do must be for others. What we do must be for others. That's the 2 Corinthians 11. Okay, almost done. 2 Corinthians 11. We checked a bit of it in the first service by Elder Bros. 2 Corinthians 11, let's read verse 3. 2 Corinthians. I was opening to 1 Corinthians and I saw the head of a woman. I was like, okay. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the servant beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, are we there? So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The word simplicity there is haplotes. Haplotes. H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S. Haplotes. It means that you are not self-seeking. There is a singleness of your heart. You are one-minded or one-mindedness. One-mindedness, singleness, not self-seeking. Say, your mind should not be corrupted from simplicity that is in Christ. What's he telling them? Let the sacrifice of Christ be your motivation for service. Let the sacrifice of Christ be your motivation for service. Once these dominate our hearts, we will not be involved in vainglory. You've seen what vainglory is and deceit. Vainglory and deceit. See, sometimes pressure can come. Will it come? Yes. We cannot avoid it on this side of the world. But our response to it will determine a whole lot of things that has eternal value. We do not do wrong things because of pressure. We keep our minds with the integrity of the word. For a while, we've been talking about the defense of the truth. We keep our mind with the integrity of the word. Why? We know that we will give account of our services. We will. Is heaven a reward? No. Are there rewards in heaven? Yes. And it will count. What have you done on and for that saint? That's the person that has eternal value. Not the car, not the clothes I'm wearing. Amen. Let's see 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. See, verse 3 and 18, we say, chapter 3 and 18, we say, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Of which I guess we have known that the glory to glory is not glory to glory. Tomorrow again, glory to glory. From the glory that was fading away, to the glory that exalted, which is the ministration of the Spirit. Now, see verse 1 of chapter 4. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? You have received mercy. How did you receive the Spirit? The ministry. We faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We'd also see that the apostles were very, very careful about their conscience. They would say pure conscience before God. They would always keep talking about conscience. See that in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, 1 Timothy 3, 9, 1 Peter 3 verse 15 also. Let's read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. That what? That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you all. Why? The apostles were conscious of their motives also for doing things. That's why we're talking to the Philippians guys. You see, some people were preaching. I mean, bonds, they are preaching just to show themselves. And some people are preaching rightly. Anyway, in as much as Christ is preached, no problem. That's Philippians 1. Okay, so say, I am a servant. I am a minister. I am a giver. I maintain my focus in my service. So let's see. Some things to check to enhance our priority, our focus. Priority number one. Some things to check to enhance our focus. Priority. Priority. We ensure we prioritize what is chairman in God's heart. 2 Timothy, we read, says that you will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth will be what is written in verse 5, that what? There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. What are you preaching to them? The gospel. You will want all men to know about the gospel. That's the priority in God's heart. So we'll keep our priority. And the same thing we saw in Acts 6. When murmurings came up, when there was a bit of strife, what happened? What happened? He says, but we will give ourselves to what? Continually to the ministry of the word and prayers. Give priority to the word. We give priority to prayers. Priority number one. Then two, meditation on God's word. In the first sermon, we read Philippians 2, Philippians 3. That this thing I am writing to you again, again, and again. I am writing to remind you why our minds can be forgetful. Hence, we need to be reminded over and over and over again. So let's see. Meditation on God's word. I write this down. God's word is his thoughts. As you meditate on it, your mind is filled of the word. That's in Joshua 1 verse 8. It was written, meditate. Meditate there means agar. You mutter, you speak. You speak. You had a stressful day today. And something just happened. A believer did something to you. He said, no, I can't take it. What is that? What are you doing? You are meditating. But are you meditating correctly? No. So what will you do? You change it. You change it for that. I can't take it. I am born of God. I am born of love. It is natural for me to give. I give without expecting anything in return. What are you doing? You are keeping those things in your mind. You are sharpening your mind. That's why scriptures will say in Romans 12 verse 2. It says that you should renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but renew your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Which of course 3 means the same. So we ponder and speak the word of God always. You say something like, I am not proud. I am not self-seeking. We channel our words right. Our words are victory. We channel our words aright. I am not the one that causes strife. I am not the one that causes dissension. My heart is pure. We keep saying those things. Also, number 3, we pray the Pauline prayers. Yes, we must. We pray the Pauline prayers. I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to myself. We pray the Pauline prayers. Why would that? Why would Apostle Paul say, I pray for you all. After I heard of your faith, I pray for you all. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So that you can know the things that Christ has poured in you. Philippians, Colossians, you see there. That your love will abound more and more. In all wisdom and spiritual judgment. So, we pray those prayers. Why? We are men of the Spirit. Or you see him again, as we prayed earlier on. He said that should be Thessalonians 3, that not all men, their enemies, not all men have the Spirit of God. Not all men have believed the gospel. Pray for us that we'll be delivered from evil. Evil men. That the word of God will have free course and will be delivered from evil men. We'll pray those prayers. We'll pray for ourselves. Why? We are also what? Givers. We pray for the ministers. Why? They are the people that God has given to us to shape us up. Amen. Okay. You know, the fourth one, we act on the word. We are prompt on it. We act on the word. James 1 will tell you that he, forgetting who he was, will start behaving anyhow. After he has left the mirror, he just looked at it and just turned back. He forgets quickly. Let's see. Let's read it together. James 1. James 1. Verse 25. Okay, well, let's read verse 23. We act on the word, we are prompt on it from verse 23. For if any be an hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholded himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetted what manner of man he was. Is he still the man? Yes, but he has forgotten. Okay, verse 25. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. We act on the word. We see the scriptures tells us that we should forgive as Christ has forgiven. Quickly, somebody offends you, reconcile, forgive. What are you doing? You're acting on the word. We do not give a chance, the slightest chance, for the devil to take charge. Amen. Amen. Say, I will not just serve in the house of God. I will do it with the right heart. Okay. So the reason we give is because we have a devoted heart. We are givers. We have a devoted heart. Whatever you do in the house of God must be done with a good heart. Now the fourth one.
Oh, glory to God. The fourth one, value your attention a lot. Value your attention. As you come to church, you're seated. I came with my friend. And then the two of us are discussing in service. I'm already dividing my attention. Amen. God wants your attention. God wants my attention. We value our attention a lot. Now the fifth one, which was said also in the first sermon. See, prophecies that are given ahead of time. Please write it down. We see the prophecies given ahead of time as the Spirit's instructions before they happen. We see prophecies given ahead of time as the Spirit's instructions before they happen. Now we all know that prophecies can come and not happen. It can come and not happen. It depends on what you do with it. For example, Prophet Nahum and Prophet Jonah were sent to the same Nineveh. But what happened in Jonah? For Jonah, they were not destroyed. But for Nahum, what happened? They were destroyed. 400 years interval. Why? There was a response from the people of Nineveh when Jonah went. What did they do? They repented. And judgment that Jonah came with did not happen to them. But when Prophet Nahum will come with the same message, they did not repent, and they perished for it. So the prophecies that comes to us are the Spirit's instructions before it happens. We are well aware of things before they happen so that we can take caution. Now, we will see that earlier on this year or late last year, we have seen prophecies that came. Beware, be careful of spiritual relationships. Be discerning, isn't it? Something like that came up. Talk about trainings. Talk about loyal men. It's still me and you that will decide to be loyal. Amen. Amen. So the prophecies given ahead of time are the Spirit's instructions before they happen. So we take caution. First Timothy 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. Just be careful. You wage a good warfare. See verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. By them you might war a good warfare. Knowing them ahead of time would ensure your attitude and our conducts at times that we see things like that. Amen. Amen. We saw out that love is a very serious thing this year. A number of persons said it. The bond of love. It was said by a number of persons, not one person. Amen. So we will be careful about what takes our attention. God wants our attention always. God wants our attention always at every single time. So who is going to reprioritize himself? Will God come and do that for us? We will. We'll be the one to reprioritize ourselves. We'll be the ones to change our priority if it has been changing. Sometimes we will not know that it has started changing. Sometimes we know. Sometimes we won't. Why? Circumstances and situations of life can just be pushing it and be pushing it, and you're just trying to keep up and keep up, and you will not know that you have already changed your focus. So how will you keep your focus? Go back, check again. Okay, what's happening? What am I doing? Even in the face of these challenges, in the face of this pressure, in the face of the informations that come around, when you see that the things that you used to do, you go fervently, say we're going for evangelism, 2 o'clock, by 5 minutes to two, you're almost on your way to go and evangelize. You're not saying, come down. It's two, you're going by two. By the time you start seeing those things as boring, came for prayers, we are praying for this, yes, you'll be tired. But by the time you start seeing it as boring, boredom is setting in. Baba, we need to prioritize ourselves. Amen. See, life challenges won't stop. Not all of us here are married. Some are married and some are not, hopefully. So, some people get married. Some will not. Some, they'll get jobs that will demand their time. Those challenges will keep coming. But whose duty is it to prioritize? You. Why? You have learned that these things are not beyond here. They are not eternal. So it will help keep ourselves, it will help keep you and keep myself in focus. So the work of ministry is still full-time. It is never going to become part-time. It's still full-time. We will still have our attention on the go. We know that we want to take the word to nations. We know that we need to pray to achieve this. We know that we need to do the supernatural. It's part of the prophecy that came. The supernatural will be easy. But if you don't go for evangelism, you go out to reach out to people. The supernatural is easy. But you have not done what you should to get it done. It is easy. The Spirit of God is in you. But if you don't carry that spirit to go and do something, nothing will happen. Despite the trainings, despite whatever is happening, we won't relent. We'll keep our eyes on the ball. Pastor Nega said, we'll keep our eyes on the ball. Don't take our eyes off it. We know that we have to take the word to the nations. Even though there are legitimate desires, there are things. How does it start praying already? There are things that want to draw your heart. There are things that want to weigh you down. There will definitely be pressures from home, from friends, from people. Challenges will come. I applied for 15 jobs. They didn't call me for anyone. It will come. But that should not become our priority. Our priority still remains the focus. We keep our eyes on the ball. We keep our eyes on the fact that we are reaching the world with the word of God. We keep our eyes on that. We pray. Because we know that the ministry is done with prayers. We know. So I want you in your heart to begin to meditate and reprioritize. If there has been a change of focus, begin to reprioritize in your mind. Just keep reprioritizing. Keep committing yourself. Commit yourself more to the things of the kingdom. Things that have eternal value. Things that will ensure that the knowledge of Christ is not gone, does not go extinct. We keep our hearts on this. We meditate on it. It becomes our obsession. Becomes our passion. We always know that our passion is our making. You will make your passion. You can be passionate about anything you want to be passionate about. It is you that makes it happen. So keep our minds to this. I reprioritize. I keep my focus. I keep my focus on the word. I keep my focus on prayers. I keep my focus on training. Yes, I do not murmur. Yes, even in the face of challenges, in the face of different pressures, I keep my focus. Nothing takes my focus off this goal. Oh, shiti nambashta phone braces abanda coast abanda giza. Oh, jeti la bansha tidi gera ros effi da bagasha. Oh, brazegana shafane brosha. Oh, ketila baradosha evretiza faradosha. Oh, as we are one mind, as we become of one mind, as we have just one sentiment, as we have just one focus, we will see effectiveness in ministry. See, the reward and the goal and the things that happen after ministry is for that ministry. After a ministry, you keep doing the ministry. The proof of spiritual growth is ministry. First, in a local church. Master Venaba, Shata Taylor, Baganos of Fenebregadis. Oh, I reprioritize my heart. I keep my heart focused. I keep my eyes on the ball. Yes, even in the face of challenges, in the face of prayers, I keep my eyes on the ball. I do not take it out. You can begin to see at the prophecies that have come before now. You can just go through them and see how that you will want these prophecies to happen. You want it to happen. There are some that you said yourself. You said it with your mouth that this and this is going to happen through us. This and this is going to happen through us in this year. You said it. The Spirit of God gave you the utterance. And it is you that will make it happen. Yes, it is by you prioritizing your mind on the right things, by keeping the focus. It is not the Spirit of God or someone else that will maintain your focus, for it is you that will maintain it. You, me, we will maintain our focus. Yes, so that we will be effective ministers of the gospel. Master Fila Basha Badadosa, Akrizin Baragusha, the Pasta Vinabesha, oh Rashata De La Basta Vinabrasta Begadisa, oh that men ye get stronger by challenges. Oh, challenges come, we keep our strength, we are stronger in it, we do not relent. Ah, Zapan de Brasta Begadisa Vanagosh, oh Brazil, the Giga Ghost Vera Badadasha Badi, oh Ruza Brandazi Vadabasta Tila Bagados, we are not relenting. Maze Empress Efridagosh, we are becoming more agile. Ah, cause a begadabos infretina babosha. We go ahead. Manda Susa friend of Begadosa. I want you to touch one person, just hold one person by the heart and begin to speak words into the person. Speak concerning his ministry. Speak concerning him. He won't lose his focus. This man, you will not lose your focus. Your heart will be set on the goal. Your heart will be maintained. Master say the varabos shatabalabados. E grashi the vanabros e praseda bagatin. Man de siga posh. Man de radada sategaba. Mon de rize keva dosa baladosa. O rusega beda bagatusa. O vretina. We are sure that we have the Spirit of God, and we are persuaded that we will go with all fervency, we will go with all passion in pursuing the things of God. We will see to it that it is completed. Oh, say that man is not permitted to be left by the way. Man Oh, together we move. Manda so peli gabasta baradas. Oh, rasiga pata manto seka baladas sote. Men ruzute geda brasta bagati
Jesus. Together we move. Together we move. Oh, we ensure that God's, the word of God, grains ground every single place we are. Manda suke pila bash. Oh, rusote teya. Manda ragata. Manshote vide begadin. Manrusu petiga badosh. Manda sapata la badadosha. Oh, rusakamba la bradabosha. Not one person is permitted to go. Shata manabadosh. Oh, we are all men that keep our focus to the end. Oh, rusaka badabosha. We do not despise this unity. We do not despise this one-mindedness. We do not despise this one-mindedness. Oh, Shada Bagadosha. We are all of a single mind. We do things with sincerity. Oh, Ruzaga Bagadisha. The love of God garrisons our hearts. He garrisons the reason we do things. Oh, Shepina Madabosha Bagadisha. We see ourselves as givers. We give to people. We give easily to people. Oh, we give our time. We give our personality. We give everything that we have. Nasuke Panama Sabagati. Oh, we are not egocentric. We do not allow anything that pertains to us get in the way of ministering to the saints. We do not allow our ego. We do not allow what we want to happen to come in the way of ensuring saints are blessed. Oh, getila batosh. Oh, every single one of us with one mind in one accord must say going for the goal. Oh, we are mighty like that. We are mighty men like that. Oh, each one esteeming the other above himself. Each one esteeming the other in all humility, in true humility. We are patient for one another. Oh, this keeps being our mind. This keeps being our mind. Oh, Zapanda la bada bagados. Mande regabas epa shatata. Rata dodong regada bagada bagados. Ragasanta tongue basana bagadabas. Rusa gade de breshata. Oh, Zona madabagada. Oh, Shatiga bada dosa bagadi. Oh, Sapeka de bosa fekadi bagados. Oh, Shatamagadabosata. Sika mana do sika paragabada boss.